Sāratya pārasada sevana sakya dhotya. Virasananugamanastavana pranāman. Snigdheshu pandu sujagat pranatim ca Vishno. Bhaktim karoti nirpatish charanaravinde. Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, night watchman, etc. According to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When he heard this, Maharaj Parikshit became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna is everything to the unalloyed devotees like the Pandavas. The Lord was for them the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, the worshipable deity, the guide, the chariot driver, the friend, the servant, the messenger, and everything that they could conceive of. And thus the Lord also reciprocated the feelings of the Pandavas. Maharaj Parikshit, as a pure devotee of the Lord, could appreciate the Lord's transcendental reciprocation of the feelings of his devotees. And thus he himself also was overwhelmed with the dealings of the Lord. Simply by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. The Lord's dealing with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings, but one who knows them in truth becomes eligible at once to go back home, back to Godhead. The Pandavas were so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord, and by such unalloyed determination, they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape that they desired. In his travels, he's hearing the glories of his forefathers, the Pandavas, and their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot separate the Lord from his devotees, nor can one separate the devotees from the Lord. Srila Prabhupada would tell us that Krishna is never alone. Because he is Rasaraj, Rasa Vihari, he is enjoying the supreme most pleasure. And therefore, he is always in the association of those pure devotees who have surrendered their lives utterly for his pleasure. And in reciprocation, the Lord surrenders his very life for the pleasure of his devotees. Thus he is known as Bhaktivatsal. Maharaj Parikshit is hearing about how Krishna, who is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the all-powerful creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything within the cosmic manifestation, how he is taking such a humble position of being the servant of his devotees. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, by the request of Arjuna, Krishna revealed his supreme nature in the Virat Rupa, or the universal form. There it could be seen that Krishna is the all in all, the all powerful. And in his mere expansion in the form of time, even the greatest, most mighty conquerors are being destroyed. What to speak of the great conquerors like Bhishma and Drona? Even the demigods, Indra, Vayu, Surya, Brahma, Shiva, they are all devoured by this mighty form of Lord Narayan at the time of universal destruction. Yet that same Krishna is taking such a humble position in any way the Pandavas so desired. The examples are given. He was Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. A most menial task. The chariot driver has only one business, to simply carry out orders. Arjuna said, "Take my chariot to the center of this battlefield. I want to see who has assembled for this great war." And in great obedience, Krishna took the chariot to the center of the battlefield. Being a Kshatriya is a very, very prestigious, royal, dignified service. Fighting for justice, for dharma. During the battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna was battling and fighting the greatest warriors on earth, displaying such heroic feats, the horses were tired. So as Arjuna was performing this very, very great service of fighting, Krishna was taking his horses to drink water. And he was brushing the horses with the brush with his own hand, just to give them some refreshment. And after the horses were very nicely refreshed, he brought them back, and Arjuna again mounted his chariot, and Krishna, and he said, "Krishna, bring me forward." And Krishna drove the horses forward. Partha Sarathi. It is also explained here that he became the president of the Rajasuya Yajna. This was by the arrangement of Yudhisthira. On his request, he was willing to take any position. But he also took another position during the Rajasuya Yajna. He was in charge of welcoming the guests, because Yudhisthira was the presiding king. And anyone who was coming to this Rajasuya Yajna to attend was the guest of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Whoever they may be, that was not important. The important thing that they were the guests of Yudhisthira Maharaj. So Krishna, in order to glorify Maharaj Yudhisthira and show his love as the servant of the servant of the servant of this great king, he took the position of washing everyone's feet as they came. Krishna with sweet words would welcome them, offer them a nice sitting place, and with his own hands he would wash their feet. This is a very wonderful lila to understand. We were discussing this with some devotees just recently, that this temple is the temple of Sri Radha Gopinathji, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya. He is the supervisor in charge of this temple on behalf of the Lord. And anyone who comes to this temple is Srila Prabhupada's special guest. And we are the servants. We are not the lords. And our position is to welcome every guest in every way we can. When a guest comes to a wealthy man's house, even if the guest is a little strange, the servants have no right to chastise him if he is a special friend and guest of the Lord of the house. So similarly, it is not our business to discriminate according to our whims who we like and who we do not like. Unless someone is acting atrociously, then we have to act to protect the temple. Anyone who comes in any way in good faith, we should understand that they are the guest of Srila Prabhupada, and as the servant we only have one business, to do everything within our power to give them hospitality and to make them feel like they never want to leave this temple for the rest of their lives. In fact, for the rest of eternity. That was the standard Srila Prabhupada wanted in his temples. So Krishna, as the servant of the servant, was washing the feet of each guest that came just to show his love for Maharaj Yudhisthira. At other times he was a messenger. Many times Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was very, very difficult diplomatic negotiations they were trying to take place between the Pandavas and the Kurus before the great battle. And Maharaj Yudhisthira would state his message and he would give it to Krishna to go and personally deliver to Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, and the others. This is a very humble service, to be the postman. Postal peon, Prabhupada would say. Even Krishna took this position to show his love for his devotee. He was also friend with Arjuna. Sometimes they would sit together, talk together, laugh together, eat together, sleep together. Travel together. In fact, Krishna behaved with Arjuna in such a way that Arjuna, sometimes by the power of Yoga Maya, would forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada explains, by the power of Krishna's own Yoga Maya, even Krishna would forget he's the Supreme Lord. And he would just think, I am Arjuna's friend. In the beautiful Leela of Vrindavan, we find how Krishna, in his various relationships with the Brijvasis, so lovingly becomes the servant, the intimate friend, the child and the lover of his own devotees. Sometimes with devotees, these Sakas, Gopas. They would play games. They would wrestle. And Krishna would very much be fond of losing. Because after all, it is not a great thing for him to win, but it's a very great thing for him to lose. The example is given just like a father and a child. A father may have a very big, strong, grown man, 35 years old, and a child may be 6 years old. And the child tells the father, "I want to wrestle with you." And the father, he doesn't wrestle to show that he's the champion. He wrestles to give pleasure to the son. That's the only business of a father wrestling with a child. So they wrestle. Now, if the father wants to try as hard as he can, he could kill the child within seconds. He can put him in a wrestling hold and strangle him or break every limb of his body. He could lift him up and crush his back, his skull. He could stomp on him. There's no end to how he could cause misery to his child during this wrestling match. But does that give pleasure to the child? Pulverizing him? Nor does it give pleasure to the father. So therefore, the father actually pretends to be trying as hard as he can. The child takes his arm and the father... And then the son knocks the father to the ground and he falls to the ground and he gets on him and the son says, "I win, I win." And the father says, "I give up, I give up, I give up." And the son is very happy. He goes and tells the mother and all the other brothers, "I defeated father, I beat him up today." And everyone says, "Very good, very good." And the father says, "Yes, I could not defend myself against him." In this way, the son is blissful, the father is blissful, everyone in the family is blissful. Because it is an expression of love, intimacy. And after Krishna loses, just so that everyone in Vrindavan knows that Krishna lost, he has to carry the champion, cowherd boy who defeated him, on his shoulders and carry him through the cowherd pastures. Because he wants everyone to know that I am always defeated by the love of my devotee. And Queen Kunti, she was praying in remembrance of Mother Yashoda when Krishna would steal the butter, makan chor. Mother Yashoda would pick up stick and say, "Krishna, you are naughty boy, I will punish you." And Krishna would run away. And when he would be caught, he would say, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it, the monkeys did it. My friends did it, somebody did it, but not me." When he saw there was no way that he could argue his way out of this predicament, his limbs would tremble and tears of fear would come from his eyes. And Yashoda Mai, when she would see Krishna so afraid, she was thinking, "Oh, he's such a gentle, delicate little boy, I should not make him so afraid." Queen Kunti was praying, "How is this that fear personified is afraid of Krishna? And yet Krishna is afraid of this lady, Gopi." Yashoda did not have big muscles. She did not have astras, brahmastras, or bows and arrows or clubs. She was just a very gentle lady with a little tiny stick. But Krishna was trembling with fear. Yashoda Nandana. Because he wants to give pleasure to Mother Yashoda. And Nanda Maharaj would come home after hearing about all of the naughty activities of little Krishna, and he would say to Mother Yashoda, can your son do anything besides play? Can he do any work? Is there anything this boy could do? And Mother Yashoda would say, ah, Gopal, bring Nanda Maharaj his shoes. And Krishna would run, and he would take the shoes of Nanda Maharaj, wooden shoes, and with great, great difficulty, he would just start to lift, and somehow get it to the top of his head. And then very, very carefully, he would walk step by step, and with a wonderful and beautiful smile on his face, he would say, my dear father, here is your wooden slippers. Taking the shoes, which represent the feet of his devotee, on the top of his head for the whole world to see. And when Nanda Maharaj would see this, his heart would simply melt in ecstatic bliss. And he would say, very good, very good. Come on, this is very nice, Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains, in relation to gopis, sometimes they would chastise him. Sometimes they would actually accuse him of many bad names. The whole world is glorifying the Supreme Lord. In the songs of David in the Old Testament, there are so many glorifications of great reverence to God the Almighty. The Quran is filled with so many prayers of God the Almighty, Allah. In the Vedas and the Upanishads, there are so many wonderful, wonderful stutras, slokas, glorifying the Almighty Supreme Godhead, the cause of all causes. Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna, he's glorified eternally in all the Vaikuntha planets by all devotees in the material world. Sometimes he wants something else. He wants someone to chastise him. He wants to experience that intimacy of love. So who is it that can chastise? Only his dearmost, purest, most loving devotees. So they accused Krishna that, we know who you are, that in your incarnation as Ram, Bali, from behind the tree you shot arrow into his back. What type of kshatriya? Why didn't you face to face fight with him? And as far as Bali Maharaj, you cheated him. You said three steps of land and you ultimately took the whole universe, then you tied him up with ropes and took his whole life. And as far as kshatriyas are supposed to protect women, but what did you do to Suparnaka? All she did is come to you, attracted by your beauty, and you cut off her nose and cut off her ears. In this way, Krishna was receiving great ecstatic joy hearing the loving words of his devotees. And this is a very high subject. And Krishna explains in Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti sorajuna. One who understands in truth the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world never takes birth in this material world again, but attains my abode. Only a devotee can understand these transcendental activities of the Lord. Bhakto sime shakha chesi rahasyam hetat utamam. Krishna reveals the inner truths of his nature only to those who surrender to his loving service. Maharaj Parikshit, he was overwhelmed with devotion upon hearing these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And in the same way, this is actually the sign, the symptom of an advanced soul, that they love to hear the glories of the Lord. They never tire of hearing the glories of the Lord, and especially these wonderful glories of how the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotee to give pleasure to his devotee. Srila Prabhupada, during that wonderful festival at New Vrindavan in 1972, when he asked us to read Krishna book for beginning around midnight. For 3 hours we were reading Krishna book, and everyone was fasting and everyone was tired, just like many of you are tired because last night was very late program, and so many of you are so enthusiastic that you all were up for Mangal Arati so nicely. So very little sleep, so much hard work, and somehow or other you're trying to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam class. Praying for the mercy of the Lord that it will end. But on that night, every devotee, without exception, from the most learned Brahmins to the most stalwart sannyasis to the most surrendered brahmacharis to the most exemplary charitable grihastas, they were all struggling to somehow or other not snore too loud. Everyone was sleeping, standing up and falling on each other. Those who were sitting, they were like the pillows for those who were falling. And the greatest danger was that you might fall on the top of one of the sannyasis' dandas and injure yourself. It was a hard struggle. As devotees were taking turns to reading Krishna book. You were there, Chaitasra? You remember that scene? Huh? Tridas Prabhu was, I think, the temple president of Boston at that time. He brought many devotees to this festival. Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan back straight, looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra, just listening intensively. He was actually experiencing Krishna's Leela by the sound vibration. He was seeing it. He was participating in it as he was hearing it. And we were trying to follow in his footsteps. But Prabhupada is Prabhupada. And when the chapter ended, thus ends the first chapter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First chapter entitled The Birth of Krishna, the Advent of Krishna. And everybody somehow or other woke up when that when that passage was spoken. And everyone, just with whatever energy they had left in their bodies, they said, Jai! Jai didn't mean all glories to this chapter. Jai meant all glories to the fact that the chapter has ended. The room was very crowded, so crowded, and it was hot, and it was raining, it was pouring outside, raining. Devotees wanted to just take prasad. And Srila Prabhupada reciprocated with those immortal words, next chapter. So the sannyasi started to read. The chapter of the prayers by the demigods to Krishna in the womb, that seemed to last for all of eternity. Seemed like it would never end. Devotees were thinking, why these demigods are praying so much? But the demigods, just one prayer after another. And Prabhupada was just in rapt attention, tears in the corner of his eyes as he was just listening. And the devotees were, every now and then you'd hear, ah! You'd hear somebody fall. You'd hear somebody snore. Thus ends the next chapter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entitled The Prayers by the Demigods to Krishna in the Womb. And there was, in that sloka, there was hope. And everyone said, Jai! And then Prabhupada responded, next chapter. Anyways, Prabhupada was, he also didn't have any prasad. He didn't sleep that day. He was busier than everyone, doing his wonderful seva, meeting so many people, doing translations. But he had such a taste for hearing about Krishna, unlimited taste for hearing about Krishna. After so many chapters, hours went by. When they read the end, thus ends, for another chapter, the devotees didn't even have enough energy to say Jai. Because they knew that it might not work. So basically after that chapter it was just like, Jai. So Srila Prabhupada, he looked at us with great compassion. In his eyes, you could see that he must be thinking, this is what Krishna has sent me. This is who I have. He looked, and there was compassion, pity in his eyes, but then he actually smiled. It was amusing to him how little taste we had to hear about Krishna. And we were just listening. Is he going to say next chapter? I'm sure some devotees were praying at the lotus feet of Radha Vrindavan Chandra that he would not say that again. I know one who was. Prabhupada said, I think you are already tired. So perhaps we should end here. And then it was a tumultuous echoing, resounding of everyone joyfully saying, Jai! So to hear these beautiful stories of the glories of the Lord with his devotees is the greatest treasure of life. It is the life and soul for the Vaishnavas. How Krishna shows his love to his devotees and how his devotees show love to him. As Lord Narayan said to Duravas Muni, that my devotees have sacrificed their lives for me, and therefore I have sacrificed my life for my devotees. They know no one but me, and I know no one but them. I am their heart, and they are my heart. This is bhakti. Srila Prabhupada would often say, the Mayavadis, they want to become God. But the devotee wants to become the father of God, the friend of God, the lover of God. And even Krishna wants to experience the ecstasy of his devotees. And therefore he personally appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to experience the nature of the love of his own devotees. And during the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was in the role of devotee before Jagannath. And Jagannath himself was experiencing greater ecstasy as his devotee than he was sitting on the Jagannath cart. And the reciprocation was something wonderful. This is the supreme lila, the supreme realization. The realization of bhakti. The love between the Lord and his devotees. And this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give entrance into this realization to all living beings. By simply living as the servant of the Lord, strictly following the simple principles of Krishna consciousness and attentively chanting the holy names. By mercy of Guru and Krishna, we can naturally realize our eternal loving relationship with Lord Krishna, which is the perfection of the fulfillment of all the soul's desires. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Raju, you said that Krishna, by the influence of his own yogamaya, would sometimes forget that he is Supreme Lord. Can you please explain me that?
Krishna can do anything. If Krishna cannot forget, that means there's something he cannot do. So you may ask, does that mean forgetfulness is greater than Krishna? No, because he does not forget like we forget. Just like sometimes strange-minded people, they say, I am God. If you're God, then show me your universal form. If you're God, why you're suffering from so many problems? Well, I am God, but I have forgotten that I am God. It is my lila. But this is not lila. This is illusion. But Krishna is the supreme controller of everything. And simply for his pleasure, he sometimes, by his own sweet will, decides, out of ecstatic love, to forget. It is not a sign of illusion. It is just a particular type of ecstasy, where the ecstasy of Krishna's love for his devotee is so unlimitedly intense, and to enhance and increase it even more, he actually forgets that he is God. But then, whenever he so desires, he remembers. It is under his complete control. It is his lila. just to give greater pleasure to his devotees. His forgetfulness is not like ours. Any other question?
Maharaj said that Bhagavan Krishna, when he is showing his Virat Roop to Arjuna, in that Shiva and Brahma are devoured. But we hear that the devotees of the Lord never vanquish. How could they be devoured by Lord Krishna?
In the Virat Roopa, it doesn't actually show Shiva and Brahma being devoured, but we understand at the end of the life of Brahma, then their bodies cease to exist, along with the destruction of this universe. Those particular forms that they are temporarily taking are also no longer existing. So in that sense, devotees, the soul of a devotee never dies. The soul of no one ever dies. But where is Shankaracharya? Where is Ramanujacharya? Where is Madhvacharya? Where is Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod, Gaurakishore, Srila Prabhupada? Their physical forms went through the course of material nature, but their eternal souls are ever fresh in the loving service of Lord Krishna. So even the devatas, at the end of this universe, their forms no longer exist. They are devoured by almighty time. Lord Shiva is an eternal expansion of Krishna. But still, within this universe, he takes birth at a certain time, and he disappears at a certain time. That is his lila. Any other question?
Is the same as Sadashiva, or is it different than Sadashiva?
It is an expansion. He is an expansion.
When we talking about Kshiramahadat Divikara Vishesha Yoga, the sloka of Brahma Samhita talking about Lord Shiva, that Shiva is the husband of Durga, that Shiva. It doesn't talk about Sadashiva.
It is an expansion. Sadashiva is a Vaikuntha form of the Lord. And the Shiva who enters into this universe is an expansion of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. You should take rest so that you are not sleeping during the Sunday program. Arrivo.